save you a few grins and fake smiles, maybe, and that kind of thing, that my wife may harass you with after the service, we welcomed Haley Wheeler this week. Grandchild number 10, okay? We finally got the yawns. But I think he's got a second quarter where he's going to come out of the... We won't be able to compete with Andy and Tracy's legacy down the road, it doesn't appear. But Haley's doing fine. She's lives there in Texas, so Joanna does have pictures, so go ahead and she'll show you those, okay? John chapter 13 this morning. One verse... Verse 33 is where we're going to be. John chapter 13, verse 33. We're going to look this morning at a destiny to be desired. A destiny to be desired. Jesus is still in the upper room. Only 11 disciples with him now. He's already said to Judas, what you're going to do, do it quickly. And so Judas left. He leaves the upper room, and that would leave Jesus and the 11. And actually three things Jesus tells the 11 after Judas leaves. One of them we looked at last week. He dealt with his future condition. His future condition was that of being glorified. Remember? And... this morning we're going to look at his future destination, simply where I am going. That's what he said, where I am going. And then finally, after Sam is here next week, the following week, Lord willing, we'll look at his future desire for his disciples. Very simply, that you love one another. We're going to focus this morning on his future destination. Now, he talked about his future condition, that he is going to be glorified, and he is going to glorify his Father, and all of that is going to come about because he is going to go to the cross. If he doesn't go to the cross, none of that happens. And he is going to the cross and be the atonement for the sins of the world. And when God's creation, you and me, and millions and millions and millions of others, become like him in character, holy, and the only way that can be accomplished is when we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are changed, new creatures in Christ Jesus, and we have the character of holy God. That can only happen through Jesus' death on the cross. And when it does happen, that brings glory to the Father because we are like him in character and we can fellowship with him for all eternity. And then there's that day coming that Paul talks about in Philippians when Jesus will be glorified, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's where we were last week, and that's just kind of a summary of that, because Jesus dealt with his future condition. Now look at verse 33. Little children, he's addressing the 11, okay? Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you also, where I am going, you cannot come. So we're going to look this morning at his future destiny, a destiny to be desired. Fair question at this point. Where's Jesus going? Where is he going? He doesn't tell them. This question already had come up for this response of his to the Jews, he said back earlier in earlier chapters in John. He said to them, where I'm going, you cannot come. Well, as I came across that statement by Jesus, My question was, where are you going, Jesus? Where are you going? He's actually going to several places. One in particular that we'll get to that I believe he's talking about here. But the first place he's going after extended time of teaching the disciples, apparently several hours, he's going to go to Gethsemane. To Gethsemane, across the Kidron Valley, Mount of Olives. Jesus is going to Gethsemane, and the disciples will go with him. All 11 of them, the 11 that remain. Judas is gone. And so they're going to be with him at first. And as he goes to Gethsemane, he doesn't tell them the profound things that are going to happen there. I mean, off the chart, profound things. You see, he's going to the garden, and he's going to pray. And he invited them to pray with him. But they slept. At this most crescendo of moments in the history of humanity, the disciples fell asleep. And he prayed. In the garden, you see what happened that is such a big deal is that Jesus is going to resign to the will of the Father. The will of the Father is that he be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. He goes to the garden and he invites the disciples to pray with him. And then he goes a little bit further and then he takes James and John, Peter, James, and John with him, that inner circle of disciples. And he cries out, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Had he not prayed that prayer, you and I are lost and without hope in a devil's hell for all eternity. He's all God, he's all man. He did not want to go to the cross. He didn't want to suffer the physical pain, the emotional pain, and the spiritual pain especially that he's going to suffer here in the next few hours. And it's there in the garden where he did something that every one of us must do at those times of crisis in our lives. We have a will, you see. Every one of you this week, myself included, came face to face with some kind of something, a crisis of some sort. And folks, unless we do what our Lord and Savior did, it's going to eat our lunch. He resigned to the Father's will. Jesus had a will. He wanted to remain in fellowship with the Father. He didn't want to be rejected by the people he had poured his life into. He didn't want to suffer the physical pain, to be spit on, to hang between heaven and earth naked before the world as people paraded by, mocking him and deriding him. He didn't want to do that. That was his will, not to do that. And there in the garden, Father, if it's possible, let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He did it. And you know what's going to happen to you and me when we face those crises in our lives? Unless we resign to the Father's will, it's going to keep you awake at night. It's going to harass you throughout your days. It's going to cause all kind of interpersonal conflict. And on and on and on we go. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because just as Jesus had a will there in the garden, you and I have a will in situations in our life. And folks, that's the time when we're most like Jesus. When we resign our will to His will. I don't care, Lord. Your will be done. And we will never have that victory. We'll never have that walk that we want to have until we walk and live in resignation to the will of the Father. Well, Jesus did. Praise His name, He did. We are not lost without hope. There is a way. It's the way of the cross. And He paid the ultimate price there. And because He resigned to the Father's will, you and I can have life in Christ Jesus. Also there in the garden, Judas, who left quickly and went and sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, comes back to the garden with those 30 pieces of silver jingling in his pocket, if they had pockets. They had a plan. You see, it's dark in the garden. No street lights. The best they had were some torches that they may have carried. But he went and got the temple guard, and the temple guard came with him, and they said, "Oh, how are we going to know which one it is? They all look alike." And he said, "The one that I kiss, that's him." And it's in the garden where Judas sealed the deal with his eternal fate. Satan has already entered into him. And now he comes and he kisses Jesus and they grab him. They arrest him. He doesn't resist. He's already resigned to the Father's will. That's the indication, folks, of whether we've resigned to the Father's will or not, is whether we resist or not. He has already resigned. He doesn't resist. Now, Peter did. He grabs a sword and cuts off Malchus's ear. And Jesus performed the last miracle that he would perform on this earth. He healed his ear. You know, we sing that song, "He could have called 10,000 angels and all that." That wasn't even on his mind. He's already resigned. You see, when we truly resign, like he did, we let it go. We don't think, "Well, what if, or maybe, I need to think that again." No, 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 no. When we truly resign, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done," you go on, you leave it, you never look back. And so Jesus went to the garden. The disciples, the 11, went with him. Jesus is also going to a place where criminals go, because they arrested him, and he goes, and I think, and I didn't check this, probably need, 6 trials are going to take place over the next few hours for Jesus. He is going to be treated as a criminal. The disciples don't go there. But that's not where he's talking about in this 33rd verse. The disciples don't go with him. They run. They run. They get lost in the crowds of the Passover. They're close, some of them. Peter's watching it, warming himself there at the fire, and that girl came to him and said, "You're one of them." And he denies Jesus 3 times. Jesus already told him he was going to. But the disciples don't go with him. They run, they hide, though they may remain in close proximity. At this destination, Jesus is going to be beaten and mocked and lied about and slapped and charged with false accusations. And I believe, and you Bible scholars check me on this, this is the first time he comes in contact, direct contact, with the Roman government. You say, "Oh, okay." No, that's a big deal. The Roman government is the government of the day, the authority. Now, he did, you know, get the, told Peter, I think it was, "Go get the coins out of the fish's mouth and go pay our taxes to the Roman government." He did deal with a centurion there once upon a time. render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, render to God the things that are God. He said that. But to have direct contact, I think this is the first time. I don't know what that's about, but just kind of got my attention, okay? He's going to appear before Pilate. He's going to appear before Herod. At this place that he has gone where criminals go. The disciples cannot go there. They did not go there. But you know what's interesting? They will. All of them will. They're going to be arrested just like Jesus was. They're going to suffer physical and emotional anguish just like Jesus is. But their Father, their Heavenly Father, who is Jesus' Heavenly Father, never turned from them as He did His Son when He became sin. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. As they walk through the valley of the shadow of death to that sword that's going to take their head off, to that oil that they were boiled in, some of them, to that exile on Patmos or wherever it was and whatever happened, He never left them. He never turned from them because, folks, they could not become sin because Jesus had paid for their sin. Now, that's worth writing home about. So Jesus went to the place of a criminal. Jesus also went to the cross. The disciples did not go with Him to the cross. He hung there. He died there. But again, interestingly, Jesus is going to say to them and to us, if you're going to be My disciple, if you want to be My disciple, what did He say? You have to take up your cross daily. There is a cross in front of the disciples. They're going to have to die to self. And folks, you and I, if we're disciples, same criteria. If any man will come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. There is a cross that we live with ongoingly as a disciple and follower of Jesus. If there's not, we're not a disciple. He's going to the cross. Jesus is also going to go to the grave. The disciples aren't going there. He's going to pass through death's doorway. And from death's doorway, He goes to the grave. He's buried in a borrowed tomb. In fact, everyone who dies goes to the grave, don't they? That grave may look different. It may be at the bottom of an ocean. It may be some horrendous accidental, I don't know, but everybody goes to a grave. And Jesus went to the grave. But the disciples didn't go to the grave yet. And let us later rest that debate, that argument that comes up usually around Easter time. He didn't really die. He swooned. He became unconscious. They came and grabbed His body and hid it. And all that other. He died, folks. If He didn't die, we have no hope. I'm staking all that I am, and you are as well, I know many of you, the fact that He died and that death was sufficient for my salvation. They didn't follow Him there yet. Just as an aside, and I don't want to get caught in these weeds today, but while in the grave, He went and preached to the spirits in prison, it says in 1 Peter 3:18-20. You can write it down, you can read it, and gather around one about five or six different camps of what that means. Okay, we're not going to go there today. But as I was looking at this, I thought, oh yeah, he went and preached to the spirits in prison. The disciples didn't go with him there either. They will go to the grave, because every person that has ever been born or will be born, if Jesus tarries, will die and be buried. It's appointed that a man wants to die, the scripture says. It's appointed a man wants to die. Only Enoch and Elijah didn't pass through death's doorway, did not go to a grave. So the disciples will go to the grave. And I thought it was also interesting, they all went to the grave after Jesus went to the grave, except the one who betrayed him, Judas. Judas beat Jesus to the grave. The scripture says that when he saw what was happening, Judas took the 30 pieces of silver and he wanted to go back and he wanted a do-over. No do-over. It's done. It's done. John says in 1 John, there's a sin that leads to death. He said, I don't say that you should pray for that one. I don't want to get in those weeds today either. But folks, the flippancy at which people approach sin today scares me to death. Sin is a serious thing, and Judas sinned past the point of repentance. The son of perdition went out and hanged himself and went to the grave before Jesus went to his grave. All of the other disciples will follow him there sometime in their life. Where else did Jesus go? Jesus is going to come out of the tomb. He was in the grave 3 days. He's going to come out of the tomb. You see, if you don't go into the tomb, you can't come out of the tomb. The old Negro spiritual says there's that great getting up morning. There's a time when all those are followers of Jesus Christ will also come out of the tomb. But not yet. The disciples cannot come out of the tomb with Jesus, for they haven't yet gone into the tomb. So they didn't follow him out of the tomb. There were those among the disciples who said, we will die with you. They didn't. Jesus was buried. They weren't. But as we've already alluded to, all of them did die. All of them did go into the grave. Now listen. And all of them are going to come out of the tomb when that trumpet sounds. And the who? The dead in Christ shall rise first. The disciples died, they're buried, they're in a grave, and there is a day coming when they're going to come out of that grave. And if you and I go into that grave before he comes, we're going to be rubbing shoulders with Peter, James, and John. How about that? Now, we'll come to that in just a second, okay? All right. Finally, we're going to get to what Jesus, I think, was really talking about in this 33rd verse. Where I'm going, you cannot come. You see, in about 40 days, give or take, okay, Jesus is going to be taken up into heaven. From the Mount of Olives. You think that's a strategic place in Jesus' life? That Gethsemane, Mount of Olives, that area across the Kidron Valley there? Jesus is going to be taken up into heaven about 40 days later. You can read about it in Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1 if you want to see the details. But he's going to be there on the Mount of Ascension. And he's just going to ascend. And the 11 disciples are standing there and they're just... And then if that's not something, there's some angels that show up. They said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" This same Jesus is going to come just like he left, in the air. Where? At this very place. If you want to see Jesus when he comes back the second time, not the rapture, show up at the Mount of Olives. That's where he's coming to. He's going to split the earth wide open. You see, where he was going now in bodily resurrected form, the disciples could not go. They don't have a resurrected body now. They have a physical body. They won't have a resurrected body till they come up out of the grave. And they're changed in the twinkling of an eye, just like you and I will be. Everybody says, "Well, what are we going to look like in heaven?" Okay? We're going to look like Jesus. We're going to have a resurrected body. He has a resurrected body. A body that is eternal, that will live forever. Some of us old whippersnappers were comparing notes for a service started to how old we are, okay? And that kind of thing. And, you know, we've not been around that long. 70, you know, south side, north side of that. We're worn out, aren't we, Wayne? Huh? Old joints, not what they used to be, and on it goes, all right? Hey, I know a number of you are suffering back problems now, okay? God bless you, okay? That resurrected body has no vertebrae to slip in or out. No bad knees. No pain. Jesus ascended into heaven with the body that he was raised from the grave with, his resurrected body. Disciples, you cannot go with him yet. But when they come up out of the grave, just like you and I, we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And that resurrected body that will live for eternity will be our house at that time. So where I am going, Jesus said to them, you cannot come. We know that they will later. We know that spiritually, they went to be with him in heaven. But that body stayed in the grave until that day when that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first and they're changed in the twinkling of an eye, as you and I will be if we have gone to the grave before he comes. How about you this morning? When Jesus said, "Where I am going, you cannot come," what does that mean to you? Don't look around you. I've already dealt with this all week. What does that mean to you when Jesus said to those disciples, when he says to you today, "Where am I going? Where I am going, you cannot come." Does it mean never? For you, I would venture to say there are some in this room that statement at this point in time means never. Where I am going, you can never come in your present state because you are yet to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and become a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Most of what we talked about with the disciples here applies to you and me, disciples. You can't come with me now, but there's coming a day when you will in that resurrected body. Now, when we pass from this life, I believe with all that I am and the Scripture would support it, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But our spirit goes to be with Him. The Scripture teaches that there will be a resurrected body where the spirit and the physical body is raised and changed into that resurrected body. Is that your plan? Because it is His plan for you. It is or it isn't. You say, well, I don't know. You know, get back to me on that. No, now. When Jesus said, where I am going, you cannot come, does that right now mean never? Oh, deal with that this morning, folks. You went to a lot of trouble, effort, and energy, and maybe skipped some things that would have been a lot of fun. But there's an appointment that you had here, and I didn't make it. And it may be just for this question. Where I am going, you cannot come. You see, unless your debt of sin is paid, you cannot come. Because there is still a balance due that can only be paid by the very blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And when that debt is paid, it is paid in full, and He does not come back for another installment. It is permanent. It is a signed deal. It is sealed by the God of this universe. Wow. If that is who you are this morning, when He says, where I am going, just fill in the rest of that, so am I. So am I. Not because of what I've done or not done. Not because I went to church pretty much a lot. Not because my mom and daddy, my grandpa was a preacher. No. Because in the garden He resigned to the Father's will and went to the cross and died for your sins. Let's pray. Lord, we know that every person has an eternal destiny. Oh, there's the naysayers and the secularists and all kind of other titled people who scoff and deride, make fun, but we know. Billions around the world, whether they're saved or lost, they know. They know that death is not the final experience. We just know it. You put that in our spiritual DNA to know that there is life beyond this one. The question is, are you there? Where you are going, is that where we are going? That's the question this morning. I pray, Father, for every person in this room who doesn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are waiting or even coming for them at this time. I pray every person knows that. Knows it because you have given that gift of faith that allows us to see it and know it as if it already was. Lord, we want to be with you. Not because it's just going to be an easier place to be, but because you're there. You who gave your life for us so that we could be with you. That's where we want to be. And I pray that any person, Father, who has not settled that before this morning would do so today. In Jesus' name.